This is Mallory Nye, and welcome back to the Religion Bites podcast series. This is episode 15, looking at the problem of belief in the study of religion. You may recall that back in episode 2, that I introduced the definition of religion by the 19th century writer Edmund Tyler, who said that religion is about belief in spiritual things. I hope that if you've been listening to the discussion in the subsequent episodes, you will already be worried about this definition. If there is anything distinct about religion, then it is not easy at all to reduce what we talk about as religion to the simplicity of belief in spiritual things. This is not least because the idea of belief is vague, largely misleading, and comes to us with historical baggage that we have taken and tried to make universal, applying it from our own local parochial context to a very diverse world. My former colleague, Mary Keller, argued back in 2002 that if I say that I am not religious, but that my sister is, one's likely to get the sense that my sister has a bubble in her brain where she cultivates her belief. Religiousness is construed as a mental activity. This is what I'll be exploring today. Not so much the content of belief in religions, but how we come to talk about this assumed bubble in the brain that we call belief. In this episode, my aim is to encourage you to stop using the word belief when you think about and talk about religion. It's not a useful word, and for most of the time, it does the opposite of what we want the word to do. That is, it obscures our attempts to understand, rather than adding any clarity or precision. If you're going to continue to use the word belief, then I recommend some caution with it. Treat it as though it's radioactive, hazmat, or contaminated with some highly polluting substance, so you need special protective materials, gloves, bodysuit, mask, etc., in order to be able to use it. Just be careful how you use it. And when you do use it, if you do, think about what you're saying when you say it. So what's wrong with the term belief in the study of religion? In this episode, I'll be going through some of the main critiques of the term belief in the study of religion, focusing in particular on the following four points. First, the issue of belief is something with a very particular historical baggage, emerging out of Protestant Christian traditions of Western Europe and North America. Second, the use of the term belief was to label and categorize cultures that were seen as different from such European and American cultures, particularly within colonial and post-colonial contexts. Third, the term has been used as a means of bracketing out different types of thought and speech into opposites, such as belief versus common sense or knowledge, or more broadly, religion versus science. And lastly, fourth, that there are better terms to use than the term belief, which help us think through the issues with a bit more clarity. I'll take each of these in turn. First, in terms of historical baggage, the Christian world changed profoundly in the 16th century, with the rise of what came to be known as the Protestant movement. This had many different implications, many of which were obviously political, such as the change of England to a Protestant country that defined itself as separate from the Catholic powers of much of continental Europe. Leading from this, other groups of Protestants left England because they felt it was still too Catholic, and became colonial settlers in the New World of America, such as Boston, Plymouth, and Rhode Island. One common thread among many of the Protestant traditions that emerged from this turbulent time of history was an emphasis on doing one's religion through correct thought. This was already very important within Christian traditions prior to this, such as within medieval Catholicism, due to the central statement of faith that is called the Creed, which indeed starts with the words, "I believe in," credo. But, for various reasons, the emergence of Protestant traditions and thinkers made the emphasis on belief, and in particular correct belief, a defining aspect of religion for them. What this has given us is a defining legacy of how we approach the idea of religion. That is, how we understand what other people are doing when they talk about their culture and their religion. To put this another way, We cannot make sense of contemporary debates and practices among Christians in Europe and North America without paying some attention to how they use the English language term belief about what they do and how they think and talk about themselves. And the same may or may not be true about other English language speaking communities in the same cultural context. But this doesn't necessarily make the local, parochial concept of belief that has emerged from this historical tradition a term that can be easily used elsewhere, within or about other cultural, religious, or historical contexts. The term belief is a local term. It sums up how many English-speaking people relate to their religious tradition, in particular Protestants, but other native English language speakers as well. But to apply it to non-English speaking contexts, to religious and cultural contexts beyond this, it is more or less useful than applying other local terms, such as perhaps Mass or Eucharist, priesthood or ministry. But one of the problems is that we are so used to using the term belief outside of the context of contemporary English language Christian groups, we fail to appreciate that it doesn't work so well elsewhere. Not only does it not translate well, but also, like other bad translations, it misrepresents and leads us to fail to understand what we are trying to understand. Secondly, belief as a labelling tool. One of the reasons why belief has been applied outside of the specifics of Protestant Catholic arguments and debates of Europe and America is because of the Europeans' relentless pursuit of colonialism. That is, the long history of Europeans moving outside of Europe to America, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, Australia, and so on, and settling on lands in those new places. In doing so, Europeans came across other peoples, the native or indigenous peoples of those lands they were taking. And Europeans soon discovered that they needed a terminology to try to understand the challenging complexities of those other peoples' cultures and their religions. In short, Europeans started to try to understand other cultures and religions through the framework of how they understood their own religions. They knew what their Protestant and in some cases Catholic traditions taught them, their own beliefs. And so they looked for similarities in the accounts given to them by Native Americans, Indians of Goa, Bengal, and other parts of the subcontinent, people from across the large continent of Africa, and so on. But very often the collection of beliefs was not only to gain knowledge, it also became a means of categorizing, labeling, and controlling. Thus, some groups, societies, or cultures were found to give coherent accounts of their religions to the colonialists. For example, the British found in India that there were religious traditions which amounted to a system of beliefs that they began to label with a name. Initially, the British called them Hindus, with two O's, and then later, more simply, as Hinduism. After centuries of thinking about this, we now don't think twice about making statements such as Hindus, now with a U, believe in many gods, or that Hindus believe in reincarnation. In other cases, however, the situation was quite different. Amongst smaller, usually less politically powerful groups, the local traditions didn't appear to have the things that the Europeans were looking for when they asked about beliefs. There were no clear-cut gods, no written texts, no moral systems or philosophies that were easily identifiable. Thus, for example, in Africa, among the indigenous peoples of Australia, and in North America, Europeans came to think of these people as having something less than religion, because the Europeans couldn't find anything that they took to be coherent belief systems. Terms such as primitive or tribal came to be used instead, and instead of beliefs, they relied on terms such as magic or superstitions, which were, of course, already terms that they were familiar with from back home. Thirdly, belief versus other modes of thought. This then brings us on to a further development of thinking among Europeans. Not only were they beginning to classify and categorize non-Europeans according to whether those people and culture had beliefs and religions or not, European thinkers were also beginning to ask new questions about the nature of their own thinking, particularly in the context of what has come to be known as the Enlightenment. In many ways, this was an attempt to follow through the reformations of the Reformation, to cut out of thinking any traces of silly, irrational, or unexplainable elements. For some, this led to atheism or agnosticism, the abandonment or rejection of religion, that is Christianity, due to what was seen as the irrationality of its beliefs. Whilst another strand of the Enlightenment was to do what was considered as a cleaning up of Christianity, making the beliefs rational and jettisoning those that weren't. In this context, the term belief then began to fall on the awkward side of a dividing line. To say, "I believe," then became something that atheists considered as wholly irrational. Belief was the opposite of science or proper knowledge, since it couldn't be proved. We see this viewpoint still very much embodied in new atheists' thinking, such as Richard Dawkins. But for those who remain theists, that is, Christian thinkers, belief took on a role as a particular form of rational thinking. A Christian would be expected to reject irrational ideas and beliefs, in superstitions, miracles, etc. But their Christian beliefs, their faith, was different. It was rational, but in an unknowable or faith-based way. So, I might know that an apple will fall to the ground due to the force of gravity, or the flow of electrons through a wire will produce an electric current. But I will believe in the existence of the Christian God and the other basic issues of Christianity, because such beliefs are known in a different way, through faith. Now remember, this is a particular type of thinking in itself, emerging from largely European, in particular English-speaking Christian thinkers, in the past 200 years. Even though these ideas have spread far and wide across the globe, it doesn't mean they are universally applicable. Thus, we have a series of oppositions. Belief versus knowledge, blind dogma or superstition versus belief or faith, and religion, belief, faith, or irrational, versus science, empirical, common sense, or rational. In many cases, these oppositions may move around a lot. For most atheists, religion is firmly, in all instances, a form of irrationality, whilst for Christian thinkers, belief is a particular kind of thinking that, although it appears on the surface irrational, in practice, in context, it can have its own special type of rationality or sense. And it is largely this latter understanding of belief that has found its way into the study of religion in the late 20th and early 21st century. That is, the idea that we can study religion and religions in terms of beliefs, statements, and ideas that should be understood as true or rational in their own way to the people who hold them. Such an approach is, of course, an improvement on saying simply that other people are being silly or superstitious, and it is also an improvement on saying that we should just go and change what they think and do because they don't think and do what we do. But again, as I've underlined already, this view of belief doesn't fit easily with the ways in which other people practice and think about the things we think of as religion. Or to put this another way, how do we understand people who hold what look like religious views, but in a way that is not in terms of believing, but instead in terms of knowing? Knowledge rather than belief. In practice, it is not one or the other. Instead, the problem is that we are so used to using the term belief that we have difficulty when ideas that we call religious are considered differently, for example, as knowledge or common sense rather than as beliefs. Do people believe beliefs? Do they know them? And how can we judge? If we travel to Mecca, for example, at the time of the Hajj, or go around the crowd at a large papal rally, will all the people present have the same attachment to beliefs or knowledge? Or we may find, what is probably more likely, that the people in such a large crowd will hold a diversity of different ways of thinking about their culture and religion, different levels, perhaps different types of belief, all within that one context. So fourthly, discourse rather than belief. The implications here are very wide, and in particular, how can we talk about this if we follow my advice and stop using the word belief? My conclusion is quite simple, although quite difficult to implement, since it makes the situation more complicated. Whether in a religious or other cultural context, people do a lot of thinking, and they do a lot of talking. This is very commonplace. Some would argue that the use of language in such a way is more than anything else what makes us human. The idea of belief is a means by which we, that is, English language speakers, try to identify or categorize certain types of talking and thinking. It doesn't tell us what people are doing, it tells us how we try to understand what those others are doing. Instead, I would argue that it is better to use a more neutral term and approach to identify what is happening when people talk and think about matters that relate to religion. If they mark off the religious issues from the not-so-religious ideas of culture, then that is a distinction they make. But if they don't, then we have to be careful about making that distinction at all. Remember from the earlier podcasts about whether or not there is a gap between religion and culture. In short, the term often used to describe the talking and the thinking is discourse. What we term beliefs may or may not be believed. Indeed, they may or may not be a form of knowledge instead rather than belief. But they are discursive. They are things that people say and that people think with. They are framed within certain structures of speaking and talking, and such discourses are not solely spoken or thought, they are also practiced within particular contexts. What we refer to as beliefs in the study of religion are in fact systems of discourse that exist within particular contexts and frames of reference, and which are always embedded within certain structures of power. That is what we are studying when we look at beliefs. Or at least, rather than simply trying to learn their beliefs, we should be looking at these much larger issues of the discourses that shape and contextualize people's worlds and experiences. In this way, belief, the term belief, becomes something quite different. We shouldn't talk about beliefs, but instead the many types of discourse that people are part of, and the ways that they make use of them. Some of these may be obviously religious, but we shouldn't presume that those discourses which we take to be irrational are necessarily religious. There are many forms of discourse, both rational and irrational. In this case, the division between science and religion isn't necessarily a simple distinction between rational and irrational discourse. So that's it for today. Thanks for listening to this Religion Bites podcast. And, as usual, if you'd like to get more details, then please go to my website, mallorynye.com/religionbites. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.